Who do you distrust and why? When someone makes a promise to us, they want us to trust them that they will fulfill that promise. If they fulfill the promise, we trust them. But if they do not fulfill the promise, then generally speaking, we don't trust them, do we? In fact, if they don't fulfill the promise that they made to us, we may not trust them to tell us the truth about anything. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, has God telling Adam this: "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Well, later, when Adam and Eve ate of that tree from the garden, God fulfilled his promise. In his timing, they died. After the flood, Genesis chapter 9 and verse 11 has God telling Noah this: "I will establish my covenant with you. Never again will life be cut off by the waters of a flood to destroy the earth." In the millennia since God made that promise, he has not destroyed the earth with water. So God has been true to his word. In Exodus chapter 34 and verses 6 and 7, as God revealed his presence to and character to Moses, he identified him as this: the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin." One of the things we need to see here is that God not only abounds in love, but God also abounds in faithfulness. You and I like to think about that piece of God abounding in love, God being characterized by love, God being all love, that God says and does nothing but love. But God himself says this about himself: he not only abounds in love, he abounds in faithfulness. Numbers 23, verse 19 tells us that God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? These are rhetorical questions. We know, even as the questions are posed, that the answer to them is absolutely not. God does not lie. God does not change his mind. God does not speak and then not act. God does not promise and then not fulfill. God is known by these things. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, Moses reminded the Israelites, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." Did you notice that? He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. In Joshua chapter 23 and verse 14, Joshua reminded the Israelites, "You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed." Now that is saying something, isn't it? I mean, you and I, as much as we would like it to be known for being able to fulfill every promise we've ever made, we know that we've dropped the ball. We know that we've forgotten at times about fulfilling some promise we made to a child or to a coworker or to our boss or to somebody else. We know that sometimes we've made promises to people that we really wanted to fulfill, we really tried to fulfill, but we just simply couldn't do it. It was beyond our ability to do it. but not for God. Joshua could say in all good conscience, not one of all the good promises God ever made has he failed to fulfill. The writer of Psalm 33 in verse 4 testifies of God that the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. In Psalm 145 in verse 13, King David wrote, "The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made." Once again, this starts becoming kind of a mantra in a way, doesn't it? This is what we know about God. This is what God's people came to see very clearly about the nature and the character of God. Psalm 89 in verse 8 says of God, "O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you." I love that phrase. And your faithfulness surrounds you. In other words, when you think of God, you think of him being literally dressed in faithfulness. Faithfulness characterizes God. In Jeremiah chapter 33, in verses 14 through 16, God makes a promise that's based on a previous promise. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah." When I will fulfill the gracious promise. Now, what is this? "In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness." The Lord our righteousness. That's a name that could only be applied to God. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." That one seemingly insignificant line has three things in it that are of great power and value and significance. First, Jesus' human lineage was from Abraham and through King David. So Jesus was a branch of David. Second, Jesus would fulfill God's promises to Abraham that are made in Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 through 3, where the Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Third, Jesus would fulfill God's promise to David, where he said, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." Through Jesus, these promises God had made to Abraham and to David would be fulfilled. Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 17 tells of an angel of God appearing to an old priest named Zechariah. He told him that his aged, childless wife, Elizabeth, would have a son. And he will go before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Here, God fulfilled the promise that he had made in Malachi in chapter 4 and verses 5 and 6. Luke chapter 1 and verses 26 through 33 tells us what occurred next. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Do those words echo from what we've read in Jeremiah? When Joseph had heard that his betrothed wife Mary was pregnant, he considered divorcing her. But Matthew chapter 1 and verses 20 through 23 tells us this. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. That's what the name Jesus means. Luke 2 tells us about Jesus' birth and his early life, and it shows us more of God's prophecies or promises being fulfilled. The New Testament, in fact, records at least 34 prophecies of the Messiah or the Christ, which Jesus fulfilled. Through his son's entire life and ministry, God fulfilled all of his Old Testament promises about the Messiah. One writer, Vaughn Roberts, made this observation. "The New Testament never leads us to expect that there will be any fulfillment of the Old Testament promises other than their fulfillment in Christ." These prophecies could only be fulfilled by the power of God. Jesus is the singular point of all of God's promises, because through Jesus, God would accomplish his greatest desire. And what was that desire? To provide a way by which every person could be purified of their sins, could be adopted by God, and could live in loving relationship with God forever. Through God's sacrifice of his only Son for every sin of every person, God's great love is shown. And God's trueness to his promises is shown. Through Jesus' sacrifice of himself, because of his loving obedience to his Father, we see that. And we see his great love for each of us and every person on the face of the earth as well. Can you imagine this? Before God made anything, he decided that he would sacrifice his only Son because he wanted so much for you and me to live in love with him forever. Through Jesus, God has fulfilled his promises to bless us forever. May each of us be so moved by God's faithfulness and God's sacrificial love for all people that every day you and I seek for someone that we can tell about how they can be saved from their sins through the great love and sacrifice of God. And may each of us understand more fully why we can personally have more faith, more trust, and more hope in God. God is faithful to every promise he's ever made. The Bible shows us that over and over. Every promise he's ever made, He's always fulfilled. If that's been the case, then the promises about a place tomorrow called heaven and eternity that we cannot imagine will be true as well. God has shown himself to be faithful to fulfill every promise he ever made. So we can trust him to be faithful to fulfill every promise he's made to us through Jesus. Have you put your trust in him to be faithful to you? Why not do that right now by coming forward as we stand and sing this song?